the Bible, why God gave us His words. And we've looked at how the Bible is God's way of communicating to man. God works through His words. He reveals Himself through His words. The Word of God gives life, therefore our learning. And God's Word gives light and understanding. It gives discernment. And God's Word gives truth. Look in Proverbs chapter 22. God's Word gives truth. I thank God for the truth. I love the truth. And I have God's words, and God's words give me the truth. Look in Proverbs chapter 22. Make sure that thing is on. 22. And verse 19. God's words gives truth. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 19. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth? You know why God wrote this Bible to you? That He might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. That thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. That way not only do God's words allow you to get the truth, but then they allow you to give the truth to others. God's Word gives cleansing. Look in John chapter 17. John chapter 17. God's words give cleansing. I like being clean. And I thank God for the Word of God that's able to clean me and clean out my mind and clean out my heart. John chapter 17, and this is the prayer of Christ before He goes to His crucifixion. And this prayer is for every child of God. It's His prayer for us. And He prays to God and asks the Lord in chapter 17 and verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the Word of God, through the truth of the Word of God, is able to sanctify us. It's able to cleanse us and set us apart for God's use. All right, continuing on that line of thought, look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Look with me in verse 25. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Well, let's start in verse 24 for the context. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. That actually wasn't for the context. I just like that verse. Husbands. Husbands, yeah, this is the one we have trouble with, though. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. How much do you think Christ loved the church? Now, that's a tough verse. Love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself. Y'all be quiet. And gave Himself for it. Why? That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Now, according to what we just read there, Jesus Christ loved us, the church, so much that He gave Himself for us. For a purpose. What was the purpose? That he might sanctify and cleanse us through his word. He describes it just like being washed in water. You know, before the priest could ever do the service of God in the tabernacle, they had to come to that laver. And they had to wash their hands and wash their feet when they went in and when they went out. And when they went in and when they went out. God doesn't like anything dirty. God wants to use us. But God prefers using something clean. And you're clean from your sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you're kept clean in your heart and your mind through the Word of God. And it's able to clean you and allow God to use you. Look in John chapter 15, the Gospel of John chapter 15. The cleansing power of the Word of God. That's a reason that God gave us His words. Because He wants us to be clean and He's able to clean us through His word. You know, I mean, you think about the filth of this world. Everything that's on this world is dirty. You know what the world is made of? Dirt. You know what your body is made of? Dirt. Yeah, we're animated dirt balls. Now, that being the case, how can we, animated dirt balls on a circle of dirt, be clean? Well, we need something from out of this world that's not corruptible to wash us and cleanse us. Give us some fresh breeze of heaven. Some living water from heaven to clean our minds, our hearts, our lives for God's use. John chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean. Period. No. Now you're clean, how? Through the word which I have spoken unto you. You see, the word of God was given to keep us clean. That's a reason that God gave us his word. That'd be a good reason to be in it, right there. It was given for our growth. We already looked at the verse there on that in Hebrews about the meat and the milk. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 2. God gave us His Word so we as His children can grow. God does not want His children staying babies forever, no more than you want your baby to stay a baby forever. You want them to grow up? How do you like it when your 8 or your 10-year-old starts going, but I don't know, and he touched me, and I... Grow up, kid.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. After you become a father, the Bible takes on an all new thing, doesn't it? Because every time you're talking to your kids, you hear an echo. You hear a reverb. A reminder. Yeah. Amen. How many times do I have to say that? Why won't you just listen to me the first time I tell you? All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. So God wants us to have His words, that sincere milk of the Word, so that as newborn babes in Christ, we will grow. So that we will not stay babies, but so that we will one day grow up into children, young men and young women, and finally grown-ups. That's the stages of life. There's 7 stages. There's infant, and then there's toddler, and then there's little boy, and then there's boy, and then there's teenager, and then there's young man, and then there's man, and then there's old man. And for ladies, it's infant, toddler, little girl, girl, young lady, young lady, young lady, young lady. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says we need the milk of the Word so that we can grow thereby. Look at Matthew chapter 4. It's called knowing what side your bread's buttered on, brother. It's called dwelling with them according to knowledge. Matthew chapter 4. No, I would never do that. As y'all do know what kind of pie I like, though, right? Okay, never mind. Matthew chapter 4. Or cabbage. All right, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Now put a period there if you have a new Bible, because that's all you have left in the verse. But the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God spake it, it was inspired, and it's put on this page. Give my inspiration of God. It's the Word of God. We have the Word of God. And by that we're to live. Not by bread alone, but by every Word of God. Amen. That's why I do a lot of expository. Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Go through the Bible. Why? Because you need all of it. We need all of it. And if I just do everything topical all the time, I'm going to miss stuff. Especially the stuff I don't like. Especially the stuff that rubs me the wrong way. That's just our nature. Do you understand that? So we just need to just go through the Bible and let God speak to us and get all of it. When you read the Bible, you should read the whole Bible. I mean, not in a day, but you should eventually get through and read the whole Bible. See? It's all for you. And the more of all of it you get, the better off you'll be, because he did say that you live by every word, didn't he? Amen. So even the Brussels sprouts and the cabbage and the fried green tomatoes and all the rest of it. Amen. It's all, you got it, you know, you get through, and I know you get to the genealogies and, you know, is it so-and-so begot so-and-so? I'll skip over this. I'll get to the good stuff. Can't do that. You take it all. You say, that's not helping me grow. Yes, it is. You don't know it, but it is. See? The parts that you don't think are important, who knows? I'm just going to believe God. Amen. And do it even though I don't understand it. And just read all the words. Because I think that's what he said to do. Amen. I think that would please him. Maybe God just sees the faithfulness of that and decides he'll show you something. Could be. I don't know. All right. But we know that the Word of God is given for our growth. Acts chapter 20. You see, when I found as a Christian, when I got saved, that in reference to the physical body, no man by taking thought can add to his stature 1 inch. I knew it was impossible for me at that time to give Benny Hinn a call and ever be taller than I now am. However, I found out that I did have some say in my spiritual growth based on what I would do with God's words. Now, not all of it. Some of it is just experience, and some of it is just God and the things He does in your life. All right? But a certain amount of growth just takes place just by what you'll do with His words. And the more you eat it, and the more you put it out, the more you can grow. So I said, well, here's my chance. That's what Brother Patterson said. I like that. He's my buddy now. Actually, I think he said 7 foot, didn't he? Didn't he say 7 foot? He said 10 foot. Anybody for 11? 11, 12. All right. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Okay, verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. There you go again. Need all the Bible. Verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. This is Paul speaking to the pastors. They're having a pastors' conference. You got all the pastors together from the area of Asia Minor there, and he's giving them some commands and some counsel. He tells them in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Notice he said, first take heed to yourself. I have to feed myself so that I can feed you. See? And so I asked God, God, what do you want me to do to feed myself so that I can feed your people? And God, you get me the material and you put the things in front of me that I need to get and get a hold of and learn so that I can give them to your people. And then I read through the whole Bible every 60 days. That's what I do. I read through the Bible every 60 days. Because I'm asking God to give me something from His Word to give you. And if I'm not willing to get something for me first, how can I expect God to answer that prayer and give something to you? That's all. And so he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves. See? I would just be being a hypocrite. If I'm telling you all to read your Bible and I'm not reading your Bible, I'm just a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite enough in enough things. If I can avoid some of them, I want it. Amen. The rest of you will amen that later. Over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. All right. What's the main responsibility, the main purpose of a pastor? To feed the flock. To feed you and give you the Word of God. So that you can grow to be healthy sheep. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me what? Where? Well, that's a good place for sheep, isn't it? What are green pastures for? There's the food. He's a good shepherd. Well, that too. You find comfort in it. You find rest in it. It's all there. It's all there. And God gave it to us for our growth. Look down in verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. There's your spiritual body building right there. It's His words. Get His words. It'll help you to grow. It'll help you to grow. All right, Psalm 119. God gave us His words so that we could have knowledge and wisdom. Now, if I say that and you go like, well, who wants that? Well, just don't plan on me and you fellowshipping too much. Are we okay there? I mean, really, I don't like being around people that purposely want to be ignorant. What did I come to Alabama for? I don't know, bro. That's good. That's a good. God told me to. Honestly, I never. My life was like, man, if I could just get to Alabama and be a pastor. It just never dawned on me, you know. So I figure it must have been God. All right, verse Psalm 119, verse 66. Psalm 119 and verse 66. All right, there, Psalm 119 is about what?
The Bible.
All right, how many books are in the Bible?
66.
All right, this would be a good verse then. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. God, I believe your book. Would you please teach it to me? That'd be a good prayer. That's a good prayer. Look in Luke chapter 11. God gave us His words so that we could have knowledge and wisdom. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. He doesn't want us to be knuckleheads. So there's hope. Luke chapter 11. Verse 52. Luke 11 and verse 52. Woe unto you, lawyers. Amen. That's a good verse. For ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye enter not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered. You know what the key of knowledge is? Yeah. It's Jesus Christ in this book. And without that, you ain't going to know nothing. You aren't going to know anything you need to know. Let's put it that way. You're not going to know anything that's going to really help you in life. Look in Mark chapter 12. Another reason God gave us His words. They were given to protect us from deception. Believe it or not, there are those out there that would like to deceive you, especially as a newer Christian, as a young Christian. Now, is there anybody in here that's ever experienced that after you got saved, that maybe somebody with some funny doctrines or something kind of came your way? Raise your hand if that's you. I'm just curious. Wow, how about that? Amen. And so God gave His Word, see, to protect you from that, so that you'd know, so you'd be able to get a little discernment and realize when somebody's trying to pull one over on you. Look in Mark chapter 12 and verse 24. Mark 12, verse 24. Jesus answering said unto them, You do err, do not ye therefore err, because you know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God. What was their problem, those scribes and those Pharisees? Well, real easy. They didn't know the Scriptures. They erred. They blew it. And when you do, you'll be easily deceived. Psalm 119 again. Psalm 119. You might want to mark Psalm 119. We'll be back there a few more times. You know why? Because Psalm 119 is about what? What are we studying tonight? Well, then that ought to make sense. Verse 104. Psalm 119, verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Do you?
Amen.
You're supposed to.
Amen.
You're supposed to hate the cults.
Amen.
I didn't say hate individual people. You're supposed to hate every false way. See? Look at verse 128. In case you didn't get it the first time. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. Amen. God gave us these words so that we would be able to identify every false way. We wouldn't get messed up by them. Look at Matthew chapter 4 again. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Verse 7. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Who's trying to mess up Jesus here? You know how the devil will mess you up? He's a deceiver. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. See? He's tricky. He's a deceiver. You know how Jesus prevented the deception? You know how Jesus dealt with the devil? He quoted Scripture. Right. There it is. God gave you all that you need to make sure you wouldn't be deceived. God gave you all you needed to make sure you'd stay right with Him and protect you from the wiles of the devil. He gave you His Scriptures. He gave you His Word. Thank God for it. All right, look now in Romans chapter 15, and we'll go to the last portion of this study for this evening. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, okay, we have the Bible. We know it's God's words. It was given by inspiration. And we've gone over the purpose for God giving us His Word. So now the next obvious step that we should cover is simply this. How then can I learn God's words? Right? All right. There's God's words. God wants me to know His words. How do I do that? Romans chapter 15, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So God gave us His words for our learning, to give us hope, to give us faith, all these things God gave them. Now, we have to realize one thing first. The Word of God can only be revealed to us by God's Holy Spirit. Look in Luke chapter 24. The Word of God is not revealed by intellect. All right? Now, if you have a good brain, thank God for it. God gave it to you, and God can take it away from you. If you have a good brain, you might be better at remembering some things. All right? You might be able to remember Scripture better than somebody else. You might be able to remember where things in the Bible are a little better than somebody else. But having a good intellect, having a good brain, does not in any way allow you to understand the Bible better. There's lots of geniuses out there that don't know the first thing about the Bible, because God won't show it to them. They haven't humbled themselves yet. See? So we need to realize, first of all, that we can only have the Bible revealed to us by God's Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 24, and look with me in Luke 24 and verse 45. Well, look in verse 44 for the context. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Jesus had been with His disciples for 3.5 years. And yet they still hadn't understood any of the things that He was doing. It wasn't until afterwards when He breathes on them the Holy Ghost and then tells them in verse 25, then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Who opened their understanding? Jesus Christ did, through the Holy Spirit. And that's the only way you're going to be able to understand the Bible, is if God decides to show it to you. You understand that? If God decides He ain't going to show you and give you understanding of the Bible, can you get it? You need to realize that when you approach the Bible. You need to understand that the only reason you're receiving any understanding from the Bible is because God is allowing it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look with me in verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You know what the natural man does? He's going to teach God. He's going to show God. He thinks he knows best. See? He has this idea that somehow he's got it all figured out on his own. You know, Big Bang and all the rest of it. What's the problem? He doesn't have the Spirit of God. And until he humbles himself and fears God and repents and turns to Jesus Christ and gets saved, he won't. And as long as he doesn't, it doesn't matter what his IQ is. He'll never be able to understand the things of God. He'll never be able to know them. We have that as a gift by God's Holy Spirit to give us that understanding of His words. And God has put this Bible together in such a way that without God's help, you'll never learn it. Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28. Isn't it amazing? If you wanted to show somebody how to get saved out of the Bible, how would you do it? Huh? Where? I mean, but where? Romans what? Well, why isn't all that in one place? Do you understand? God didn't write His Bible and say, okay, step one, to get saved, do this. Step two, now start doing this. Step three, now begin to learn these things. Step four, now I want you to know these things. You know what God's done? He's jumbled the whole thing up. So that without Him showing it, you'll never get it. He did it that way on purpose. You need to understand that. Look at Isaiah 28. That's an amazing thing. This is a living book. Isaiah chapter 28. Verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. All right, you start as a baby, right? Then you're supposed to grow. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, and there a little. That's how you study your Bible. That's what we've been doing tonight. You know why God put it together like that? Verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. All right, you reject it. You reject the rest. You reject the comfort. You reject the salvation. Okay. Verse 13, but the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go back and fall backward. I guess they were slain in the spirit. Hey, the only time I see anybody falling backward is the enemies of God every time. And fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Snared? By what? The Bible. Taken by what? The Bible. You know what God's done to the Mormons and the Jehovah Witnesses and the Catholics and all the rest of them? This thing's a snare. It'll trap you and kill you. Or it'll save you and give you life.
Amen.
It's a two-edged sword. And God's put it together in such a way that He just turns it and moves it how He wants and directs it in someone's life the way He wants. It's alive. It's an amazing book. It is the Holy Bible. Matthew chapter 12. You have it. If you're saved, God's given you ability to understand His words, you need to realize the great treasure that you have. Now, this one's probably a little deep for you. I don't mean to go over your heads. But God did give us the Bible for certain reasons, and He gave them so that we would learn them, to give us understanding, to give us knowledge, to give us wisdom. And so He gave us the Bible. Now listen. He gave us the Bible and He put it in writing because He wants us, now follow me, because He wants us to read it. We're all good there? That's why He wrote it. To the church of the Laodiceans, write. Why did God do that? Because He wanted them to read it. Yeah. You know why God wrote this? Because He wants us to read it. Now, I know that's deep. That's way, you know, down in there. But if you can get a hold of that, Matthew chapter 12, verse 3. But He said unto them, have ye not read? Oh, now, come on. Hadn't they? I mean, they were the Pharisees. They were religious. Have ye not read? Who's saying that? Have you not read what David did when he was hungered and they that were with him? That's a good question, Lord. That's a question from Jesus. Verse 5. Or have ye not read in the law? You know what Jesus assumed? He assumed that because they had the writings of God, that they should read them. He just assumed it. He just took it for granted. Chapter 19 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 19. Verse 4. Matthew 19 and verse 4. Speaking to the Pharisees. Matthew 19, 4. And He answered and said unto them, have ye not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Well, a lot of people today obviously haven't. You say, what's the cause of that? They're not reading. They're not reading. You're never going to learn the Bible if you don't read it. I mean that. I'm trying to teach you the Bible. I want you to learn it. But if all you do is come to the Bible studies in the church, you'll, you know, maybe in about 10 years, you'll start getting an understanding of the Bible. But if you'll come to the Bible studies and be in church, and then also read the Bible on your own, say, at least once through a year, your understanding will grow immensely. Because then when we start talking about certain things, there's going to be a record. I remember reading that. And you'll start being able to put more things together, more line upon line and more precept upon precept, and get a better understanding. See? Get a better, bigger picture of the Bible. The more you read, the more you'll be able to do that. Are you saying I have to read my Bible? No, you don't. But Jesus just asked, have you not read? So I don't know if that'll be a question that He asks at the judgment seat of Christ or not. But He asked it quite a bit. All right. Isn't that sad? If only we knew. Yeah. Yeah, which one? Yeah, that'll be the... God help us. If we knew what our brothers and sisters in Christ had to go through so we could just go down to a store and buy and read a Bible, I think we'd appreciate it a little more. Amen. That's it. You need to get a hold of that. Do a little study of church history sometime when you get a chance. Matthew chapter 21. Is that what I said? Okay. Good. And verse 16. Matthew 21 and verse 16. And he said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. He just keeps asking them, well, you know, haven't you read the Bible? Haven't you read what it says? You know, I never find one time when he asked this question when they turned around and said yes. Now, maybe they had. But I don't see one time where the response is, yes, I've read that. I know what you mean. Okay, let's go on, continuing in this line of thought on reading the Scriptures. Verse 42. Same chapter, Matthew 21, verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read in the Scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. All right, what's Jesus asking? Haven't you read the Scriptures? And he asks it over and over again while he's here in his public ministry on the earth. And the only assumption I can make from all that is that the Lord wants us to read His words. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. Now, we know this is Paul talking to Timothy, but I don't think it's wrong to read the Word of God like it's God talking to us. So let's read it like that in verse 13 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. I think that'd be a good thing for us to do until Jesus comes. I don't think that would hurt any of us. See? If I encouraged you to read the Bible, to receive exhortation through listening to as much preaching as you could, to making sure that you get all your doctrine straight, if I encourage you to do that, would I be in any way encouraging you to do anything that would be harmful to you? Okay, good. Then I should do that, shouldn't I? And we should do that for others if we love them. We want to do things that are going to help them. Then that's what we should do. All right, the Scriptures are to be read. The Scriptures are to be searched. Acts chapter 17. Almost done. Acts chapter 17. Finish up real quick here in about an hour. Acts chapter 17. And verse 11. Acts 17, verse 11. Verse 10 for the context. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Now, you know why they searched the Scriptures daily? Because they were noble. Because they were noble. That's a sign of nobility. Are you a child of God? Are you a prince? Will you one day reign with Christ? Are you the king's son? And then be noble. Nobility is a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. Be noble. Be in the Bible. Search. What did they do? They searched it out. Paul's saying this stuff. Let's find out if it's so or not. and they're in the Bible and they're looking. They've got their concordance or, you know, their electronic Bible or whatever they had back then, I don't know, you know, and they're searching the Scriptures to see if those things were so. That's a good thing to do. Search the Scriptures. God gave them to us to be read. God gave them to us to search. Look in John chapter 5. Let's get Jesus Christ's word on the matter. John chapter 5 and verse 39. John 5, 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I believe God wants us to search the Scriptures. I think we can come to that conclusion by the verses that we've looked at there. I think God wants us to read the Scriptures, and God wants us to search the Scriptures, and God wants us to study the Scriptures, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So God's desire is for us to read the Bible, to search the Scriptures, and to study the word of God. God also wants us to meditate on the Word of God. Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. What do you mean meditate? Well, you know that thing I was talking about, ruminating? See, that's meditating. Now, to meditate properly, all right, you need to sit cross-legged. No, but what you do need to do is get somewhere without a lot of distractions. Now, how often does that happen in the United States of America? See, that's what we need. That's what I need. That's what you need. See? Instead of everything else going on, it wouldn't be a bad idea to get somewhere alone where it's quiet once in a while. I'm giving you some advice that you will thank me for. With everything going on and the way life is, all right, it's going to help you a lot. Just sometime when you can. I'm not saying you don't have to. You know, don't make everything in your life about God so much that it becomes stressful. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. All right. This idea that I've got to read my Bible for 2 hours and pray for 3 hours and, you know, memorize Scripture for an hour and I got to do this for an hour and I have nothing for time for, you know, and I sleep for 2 hours a day and that's all I've got time for if I'm going to be spiritual. It ain't that way. And it shouldn't be that way to the Lord. But what I'm saying is you need just to sometimes, and you find out from God how often you need to do it, but just get somewhere alone with God and not necessarily even pray to Him. But just meditate. Just think. Just think about what God's done for you, how good He's been. Think about some things you've read in the Bible and how that is good for you. And God wants us to do that. He encourages us to do that. Look here in Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He's not even talking about reading it there. He's not talking about studying it there. He's not even talking about searching the Scriptures there. He's just talking about meditating on it. We give out those not daily bread, but whatever they're, the Baptist bread, whatever they are, those devotionals. And that's good just to have and give you an idea of something maybe that you can meditate on. Okay? Something you can read over in about a minute and then just kind of think about it. You know? Don't be thinking about, I got to get this done, I got to do that, and I got to make sure I get this done. I'm not talking about that. That's not meditating. That's worrying. That's being anxious, all right? You should have already wrote those things down. You wouldn't be worrying. Trying to help you. But just some time where it's just you and the Lord, just meditating on His Word. It'd be good. It'd be good for you. That's why God gave it to us, so we could meditate on it, meditate in it. Psalm 119. There'll be some times, I got to be honest with you, there'll be some times when I'm reading my Bible, and I read along something, I say, that's pretty good, and then I'll keep reading my Bible, but I realize after about two chapters, I haven't read anything. But you know what I was doing? I was meditating on the Bible while I was reading the Bible. So it wasn't too bad. Could have been thinking about worse things. Amen? I like being in the Bible. I'm usually thinking about the right things when I'm in the Bible, when I'm meditating on the Bible. Verse 97. You know where I get a lot of my messages? It's when I'm just meditating on the Bible. That's when God shows me things. God shows me more when I meditate on the Bible than just when I'm reading it. That's just me personally. He does. I'll read my Bible and then I'll meditate on the Bible. And then that's when God will just, because that's the time for Him and me just to kind of, see, iron and smooth things out and get all that stuff where it's supposed to be at. I'm having a good time tonight. I don't care if any of y'all are, because this is good for me. What a blessing. Glory. All right. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Amen. Psalm 119 about the Bible. Verse 99. I am more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I've heard a lot of preachers, you know, talk about reading the Bible and studying the Bible and searching the Scriptures. I haven't heard much on meditation. But it's in the Bible. And it really is important. Now you got to be careful, right? That's why I made the joke about sitting cross-legged and all. That ain't it. That ain't it, brother. That ain't it. But it's just about it's meditating on the Bible. You understand? Meditating in it, just letting the Bible just kind of run over you. You know, just being all around you and in you and through you and just, yeah. Mm. Good stuff. Good stuff. Verse 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches. Well, go to sleep then. I can't help it. I'm meditating in thy word. Well, I just couldn't get to sleep last night, preacher. Oh, glory to God. Great. You had a lot more time to meditate in God's word. Well, no. You see, I was worried about this and I was thinking about this. Well, stop that. You don't have to read. Just think about God's word. Huh? Try it. Yeah, if I do that, I might fall asleep. That's a good way to go to sleep, isn't it? Okay. Good. Okay, let's go on now. Psalm 119, verse 11. We have the Scriptures to read. We have the Scriptures to be searched. We have the Scriptures to be studied. We have the Scriptures to meditate upon. We have the Scriptures to memorize. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. How did Jesus avoid the temptation of the devil? He quoted Scripture. Did he have the Bible in his hand, reading it to him? He quoted it. How? He memorized the Scriptures. And, well, that's a good example, isn't it? He wrote that in the Bible for our example. You understand that? So that when we get tempted, we'll know what to do. Say, what do? Well, we go sin. No. No temptation taken us, but just such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer us to be tempted above that we are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. You don't really believe that, but it's in the Bible anyway. Amen. But when's the last time you quoted the Scriptures on it? On what? On that temptation. You know the one. You know the ones you're tempted to do. How many Scriptures have you memorized on it? Oh God, give me victory over this sin. You don't want it. Why should He give it to you? You haven't tried. What have you done? How much of God's Word have you put in your heart on those temptations? See, show God you're serious. He might do something for you. We all right? Okay. I'm trying to help you. Psalm 119, verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Now, what I did is shortly after I got saved, an older lady from the church gave me a little pack of about 20 of these little cards, and they had the verse on one side, just the, like 2 Timothy 2:15 on one side, and on the other side was that verse. I said, well, that's neat, and I started going over them, I started memorizing them. And I got all those memorized, and then I said, I need some more memory verses. And so I would like grab tracts, or as I was reading through my Bible, I would start picking out certain verses, and then I actually went and, on a typewriter, just took a long cardboard white paper about that wide and would just start typing these verses and then cut them off. So I made my own cards. They're not all exactly the same size and all that, but it worked for me. And every day I would go with a different card and memorize that verse for that day. One verse. Just as I'm going throughout my day and going out to my car or doing this, just take that and look over it until I memorized it. See? That's what I did. I'm talking to all you old fogies, and you're like, you don't understand. There's just no way I could ever... your mind is just like any other muscle. When it's not used, it gets weaker, and when it's used, it gets stronger. But try it. Maybe you can do one verse a week. So I give those verses out in our bulletin. See? You did one verse a week, how many is that a year? You remembered that. There's some things you can still remember. Amen. If you get one verse a week, you say, but I get it, and then 3 weeks later I don't remember it anymore. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. You've hit it in there now. You don't realize it, but when the time is right, that thing might pop back up. When you're witnessing or when you're talking to somebody or a certain situation or a certain temptation, that thing's in there, so now you can use it. It's available. You've hit it in your heart. You've done everything you can do. Now God will do the rest. See? Don't ask God to do something if you're not willing to do your part. That's all. Hide it in your heart. How would that hurt you? Have I told you anything tonight that's harmful to you? All right, so I hope you're not upset with me. I'm trying to help you. And God gave us His words for a reason. Listen, this is lesson one. It starts here. It starts here. We have to desire to be in God's words. Get God's words down in us where they can do some good. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, the Bible is learned not only through reading and searching and studying, not only by meditating on it and memorizing it. The Bible is learned through teaching. Amen. That's why you're here tonight, isn't it? Did you come here to learn something out of the Bible? Well, good. I hope you have. If not, keep coming. You might sooner or later. Look in Colossians. That's why God gave it to us. And God will allow you to learn more Bible if you'll go and be taught the Bible by somebody else who's already been taught the Bible. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, you can learn the Bible and have the Bible talk to you through song. You know, when you're singing those hymns, when you're hearing songs of the spiritual songs sung, you actually are learning some Bible. Yeah, sure. You're learning the Bible through all that stuff. A lot of those, especially the older ones, now none of this new stuff really too much, but a lot of the older stuff was just filled with Scripture. And you get that stuff, that's going to teach you something about God. That's good. You're going to learn the Bible that way. Acts chapter 18. And we're to teach one another, is what he said. teaching and admonishing one another. Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18 and verse 11. Referencing the Apostle Paul, it says in Acts 18:11, "And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the Word of God among them." Wow. That's an 18-month Bible school with the Apostle Paul. I bet you that was pretty good. Amen. You know what Paul's doing that whole time? He's preaching the fire out of them. He's ripping off their hide. No, they were already saved. He's teaching them. Amen. Need to get the difference there. A lot of this Christianity today is nothing but preaching. And there's no teaching. If all you're doing is going to beat the sheep all the time, what's going to be the condition of your flock after a while? Yeah, a bunch of wounded sheep. Yeah, tenderized, but that's about it. Amen. And it's good to have your heart tender. I mean, sometimes the sheep need to get, you know, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me and all that, you know. But you got to lead them beside the still waters, and you got to let them lie down in the green pastures too. You got to have some balance there. All right, continuing on with this line of thought on teaching the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Trying to finish up real quick. 2 Timothy 2. If you can keep up with me, great. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." That's the biblical principle. I teach you, you teach others. They teach others. And that's the way it's supposed to go. That's how it's supposed to happen. That's God's desire in the church. It's not just, let's go win people to the Lord and that's it.
That's right, amen.
See, it's get them saved and then teach them the Bible so then they can get others saved and teach others the Bible. That's what a church is supposed to do. Amen. And look over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. So God's Bible is learned through teaching. It's also learned through preaching. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and be turned unto fables." But what are you supposed to do? Preach the Bible anyway. And get those that will still want to learn it, to learn it. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. God has a plan in all of this of what He wants to accomplish through His Word in the lives of His people. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." For what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Listen, if we're all humble to the Word of God, shouldn't all Christians be able to come into the unity of the faith?
Yeah.
Then what's the problem? An ignorance of the Word of God, a disdain for the Word of God, correcting the Word of God, disregarding the Word of God, not magnifying the Word of God above all His name as He does, according to Psalm 138, verse 2. And that's unfortunate, because God's desire is for unity. But the unity must be based on the truth of the Scriptures. Otherwise, it is not true spiritual unity. It is disunity based on a lie. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." That's pretty big.
Yeah.
Are you there yet?
No.
Well, then you have some room to grow.
No.
Well, then we should still be in the Bible. We should still be getting the Bible taught to us and preach to us and everything we can until we get there. Now, once you're there, then you don't need it anymore. Yeah, exactly. That's the point. These people that, well, you know, I worship God my own way. And You're never going to be what God wants you to be. You know what God wants you to be? He wants you to become the stature of Christ. That's His will for your life. It will only happen through the Word of God being taught. Through pastors, teachers, evangelists. Amen. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. They sat in my seat and the pew was my... That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I mean, just like a lion, man, just waiting for the prey. They're looking. They ain't looking to win you to Christ. They never showed up then, remember? It was after you got saved, that's when they showed up. I never had one charismatic ever witness to me until after I got saved. That's the truth. Every person that ever witnessed to me was a Baptist. Not one charismatic kook in the mess. Not one. And they all showed up after I got saved. You're welcome. That's the truth. Yeah. They're not there to try to win people to Christ. They're there after you get saved to mess you up and think they're doing you a service. Because they're deceived. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know what real love does? It edifies. You know what that real edification will do? It will strengthen the body of Christ. Amen. And it'll only happen through the Bible. Being taught, being preached to God's people, no other way. And being received as it is in truth, the Word of God. All right, so God's people must have the right heart attitude towards His words if they expect God to reveal His word to them. I already quoted the verse over there in Psalm 138 and verse 2, where it says, Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. What's God's attitude towards His word? Did the Bible say that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow? Every tongue will confess? David said, In the Lord while I praise His word. When's the last time you praised the word of God? You're great. You're wonderful. You've been so good to me. I want to thank you so much for all you've done for me. You say, well, that sounds kind of... It's Bible. In the Lord will I praise His word. Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Is that your attitude towards the Word of God? If it is, God will show you something. Because you like it. Verse 140. Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. You love the Word of God? Amen. You ought to. Verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that hit the $1 million lottery. Yeah. As one that findeth great spoil, great treasure. I wonder how you would react if, what's his name, Ed McMahon came knocking on your door. You know, you're the Reader's Digest or whatever it is. $10 million winner. You're the lucky winner. You get $10 million, and you'd say, oh, well, praise the Lord. Is that what you do? How would you rejoice? Like you do over the Word of God? Is that how you rejoice over the Word of God? Thank you, brother. God bless you. Yeah, my mortgage is, I think, about $1 million and... No. Isaiah 66, and we're done. Isaiah 66. Interesting book of the Bible, the first of the prophets. Has 66 chapters. How many books are in the Bible? We'll look at that more later in a further study. But here in Isaiah chapter 66, look with me in verse 2. For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren... Well, they have some brethren, but their brethren don't tremble at the word of the Lord. But they're brethren. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified. They said it, they didn't mean it. Why? How do you know that? What does he say? But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed, your brethren. So what's the difference? Well, it just depends on how they esteem the words of God. And how we esteem God's words will determine our eternal rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, because we're going to do these words based on our attitude towards them. And based on that, we'll determine our status throughout eternity. Whether we'll stand before Jesus Christ saved in a glorified body, but eternally ashamed. Or if we'll stand before Him in a glorified body rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory when we get to see Him face to face. And that'll all be determined on our attitude towards the words of God. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Brother Henry, would you ask the Lord to dismiss us with His blessing and give everyone safety driving home, please?